talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made over the long weekend, I'll tell you what. This thing blew me away. I want to get right to it. It may have occurred to you, it's occurred to me, the Republicans keep saying, well, we're not going to increase the debt limit. We want cuts. We won't tell you what the cuts are. Well, we have finally found out what they are planning to do. There was an unfortunate interview given by a guy named Representative Jody Arrington, a Republican. He's chair of the House Budget Committee with Reuters. Reuters is a well-respected news source, British in origin. Maybe he thought it wouldn't leak. And they disclosed that they are using a plan that had been put together by Trump, Donald Trump's budget chief, Russell Vought. Now, what's he doing sniffing around? Why is he sniffing around? They were beaten in 2020. Why is he sniffing around? Well, he's sniffing around, and he has come up with a 104-page proposal, a budget, and its title, this is great. Now, this is about money. His title is A Commitment to End Woke and Weaponized Government, end quote. Now, this is his budget, A Commitment to End Woke and Weaponized Government. Budgets aren't supposed to be ideological. Budgets aren't supposed to be that nakedly political. Joe Biden has a great phrase, and I don't think it was, he's passed it on from people who taught him in the Senate, and it goes like this, quote, don't tell me what your values are. Tell me what your budget is, and I will tell you what your values are. So, quote, don't tell me what your values are. Tell me what your budget is, and I will tell you what your values are. So these clowns, these finance clowns, have a budget that's secret. They thought it was secret, 104 pages, put together by Trump's former budget chief, Russell Vought, that's entitled A Commitment to End Woke and Weaponized Government. They lead with their chin. Here's some of the particulars. They want to cut $150 billion from woke policies. That's what they say, $150 billion. Okay, well, what are woke policies? Well, they want to cut $25 billion from the Department of Education. Well, education's a woke policy, I suppose, to them. They want to cut large amounts, billions, from housing. And believe it or not, programs from the Center for Disease Control to help stop sexually transmitted and chronic diseases. Now, we're a civilized government. Why would you cut money from the Center for Disease Control that helps stop sexually transmitted and chronic diseases? They want to drastically cut food stamps. They want to drastically cut health care. They want to eliminate the federal student loan program. And they want to end the practice of kids being able, they work in a certain underprivileged area, like an inner city school or an Indian reservation, work off their loan commitments by taking very low pay for a long period of time. Now, this is what they are doing. The Biden administration's response was a good one. Biden's people said, you know, we're not going to permit anything to be tied into the debt limit. So if you're fooling around on the debt limit, that's a non-starter. Get out of here. If you want to propose budgets in the Republican House going forward, go ahead. We'll talk about it in the next budget. But I'll tell you what, they only have a 5 or 6 seat majority. And there are a lot of congressmen in places like New York, California, Michigan, the upper Midwest, who, if they signed on to this, would be in their last term. That's why Biden wants to confine it to future debates on the budget and not a gun to his head on the debt limit. Now, I mentioned before there are three schools of thought, three caucuses, three families. They love to use the word family. They love the mafia reference about families, even though they talk about the Biden crime family and investigating the Biden crime family, when they had a real crime family, which is the Trump crime family. You had Kushner taking $2 billion from the Saudi murderer, the crown prince. Nobody investigated that. Nobody investigated that. But let's get away with all the nomenclature. Let's talk about what their three schools of thought are. First school of thought was we need to cut Social Security and Medicare. And that is deeply embedded in the Republican Party, deeply embedded. The second school of thought is what is surfacing here as, quote, moderate, end quote, cuts. Although I don't think $150 billion from woke, quote, woke policies, which includes that money from the Department of Education, housing, programs from the Center for Disease Control to help stop sexually transmitted and chronic diseases, food stamps, other health care. No, that's not at all moderate. Eliminating the federal student loan program, that's not moderate. But that's what passes for moderate in the Republican Party. There's a third group that surfaced last week. We talked about it on Friday briefly. I'll mention it again. And that's a nihilist group. That's a group that wants to injure the United States in the short term to disrupt the entire government. That is a group that's forming that says, we will not vote to increase the debt limit under any circumstances. We don't care if Social Security and Medicare are cut. We don't care if housing, health care, Center for Disease Control, food stamps, education. We don't care. We will not vote to increase the debt limit. Now, that's nihilistic. That is nihilistic. There were people in the 19th century and the early 20th century who were anarchists. One of them shot James Garfield, by the way. One of them shot James Garfield, our president. And there are people who are out to destroy our government because they don't like liberal democracy. Some of those people are in the Republican Party. Some of them are in the Congress of the United States. So far, it appears to be just a handful. But remember, Kevin McCarthy had to agree, he sort of was blackmailed into agreeing, that any one congressman can call for a new vote on Speaker. And of course, the Democrats will vote for Hakeem Jeffries. And if six of these other clowns vote against McCarthy, at some point McCarthy's threatened. So what does he do with this? What does he do with this? What I've just described, the 104-page document, Commitment to End Woke and Weaponized Government by Russell Vought, the former Trump budget chief. What the hell? They lost. They lost in 2020. Why should we be listening to Trump's budget chief? And this is the one that wants to cut $150 billion from all the programs that I described. There's still a large part of the caucus that is insisting on cutting Social Security, insisting on cutting Medicare. And there is a very small group, cancer cells in that caucus, that will not vote to increase the budget deficit at all. Biden's been magnificent. He stood up to these people and he said, I will not deal on the budget deficit. The national debt. The budget deficit is what's incurred each year. And it's out of whack because we had a number of things. We have the pandemic relief. We have the war in Ukraine. We have our defense. We have China. The last time the federal budget was balanced and there was no deficit, year 2000, when 1999-2000, when Bill Clinton was president, he balanced it because we had had that surge in the economy throughout the 1990s and in the stock market. And he was prudent in how he budgeted. He was a terrific president. He's one of the best of the 20th century, in my view. And you know what happened? The Republicans criticized him for balancing the budget. The Wall Street Journal had an editorial, I remember reading it, saying it's, quote, irresponsible to balance the budget because as the primary financial power in the world, we should incur some debt where people can buy our bonds. These people are sick. Hypocrisy isn't the right word. They're sick. But the national debt is different. That's the accumulation of the deficits over time. When Jimmy Carter was president, 1976, national debt was under $1 billion. It was about 900, 800 billion, under $1 trillion. Now it's 31 trillion. Donald Trump put on 7 trillion of that. And he shoots his mouth off. You cannot default on the national debt. The national debt was put out there after the Congress and the president signed off on expenditures. It was incurred to finance those expenditures. People bought bonds in good faith. You may not know it, but you probably did too, not directly, but in your 401k or your pension plan. If the government defaults, it would set the entire world financial system in a tailspin. It would increase the cost of our borrowing. Our debt was downgraded one time before when the Republicans voted not to do even a momentary or a short-term resolution, budget resolution to continue paying. And when your debt is downgraded, you pay more in interest. It costs us money. This is what's going on. There are these three factions in the Republican Party, one the nihilist, anarchist faction, no national debt increase under any circumstances. The other one, Medicare, Medicaid, that's the bigger one. The third one is what I've just described. So stand by. Thank God we have Joe Biden as president right now. Believe me, most experienced guy in this country about this. When we break, lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jean?
Well, today I'm going to be a crotchety old woman, and I'm going to give my very biased personal opinion about these slime bag maggots, a bunch of terrorists trying to destroy our country from the inside out. They're self-centered, lying sleaze bags. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth. That have hurt children in all various age, you know, education. They don't want education. They go after teachers. They ban books. They don't want medical help and food for kids at schools. I mean, these guys are the bottom of the barrel. I mean, they're inhumane. And then they got to go after women's health rights, and scaring doctors out of the field that take care of women. Give me a break. And then families, too. And then also, I got to bring up the environment. I feel so bad for the people in Ohio. It breaks my heart. Those people need to get moved out of there in a safe place so they can heal. A lot of them are having health issues right away now, and it's just going to get worse, believe you me. And then we need new people in our state, because the slime bagging started here with Scotty Walker. He was decreasing regulations on different things, and we need Janet Protasiewicz, and we also need Jody, and we need her in Milwaukee, guys, because she knows the environment, and she knows environmental protections.
Jody Habersenikin, State Senate, yep. Right. Yep. Yes, Gene, thanks a lot for calling in. I love your passion. You're right on the money. Sticking up for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court, Jody Habersinikin for the 8th Senate District, and some of the Milwaukee suburbs. You're right on the money. And I'll tell you what, if Jody wins, the Republicans do not have a veto-proof majority in the Senate. But if she doesn't win and the Republican Knodel gets in there, they'll have a veto-proof majority in the Senate, not in the House yet, 2 seats short. But in the Senate, they can impeach, and they could impeach Tony Evers, Josh Call, Doug La Follette. And the only thing that could stop them, you can't veto an impeachment, is if the Supreme Court rules, the state Supreme Court, that they didn't follow the rules for impeachment, which are set out in the Constitution, and it requires some kind of misconduct, and not just because the guy's a Democrat. And if Janet Protasiewicz gets in there, Supreme Court would stop that. They would stop that state Senate. But if Janet Protasiewicz doesn't get in there, Kelly would go along with it, and they would have found a way outside of our democracy to get rid of a governor, attorney general, secretary of state they don't like. Thanks a lot for calling. Next up in order, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for getting the truth up there. It's very important. We have some truth on the radio. And I got to say, I do love Jeannie when she does call in. It's pretty cool calls. I just want to add one thing about the Supreme Court race. It's going to get real nasty real quick. Kelly's going to run on Walker's record for the last, 10 dozen years or whatever it was, which is, I think it's a bad record. The man couldn't even fix the roads. So that I tell you all you need to know. But that's what this is going to come down to. And for heaven's sakes, if Kelly gets in the Supreme Court, this state will be unrecognizable, bad enough as it is now. So that's what's going to happen. And there's going to be a lot of money spent because a lot of people don't want to lose the power. That's where I'm at in that. I mean, she has to get elected. And thanks for your call, Jeannie, by the way. Okay, thanks, Matt. Bye.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, and you're right. Janet Protasiewicz is pretty clear. It's black and white. And this is not Republican against Democrat. This is not liberal against conservative or anything like that. With Kelly, it's really the difference between commie government and American democracy. Kelly stands for commie government. You know, gerrymandering, thumb on the scales, increasingly taking away your right to vote versus American government. Janet Protasiewicz. It's a pretty clear choice. Janet Protasiewicz is my choice, and I think she'll be a great justice. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Andy. We have a couple minutes before the break.
All right. Well, quickly, Matt, what is your take on this whole derailment in East Palestine, Ohio? It seems like the press keeps putting more feet onto the fire and questioning how this whole thing was undertaken after the derailment. I mean, where do you get an honest take, or can we get an honest take on how that whole situation is being handled or how it's being rectified?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Let me just boil it down. There was a derailment. It is true that Trump had gotten rid of some regulations that Obama and Biden had put into effect. I will tell you in candor, I think that those regulations probably wouldn't have stopped this only because the cargo that it was carrying, as toxic as it was in quantity and character, didn't meet the regs, but that's unclear. However, immediately after the derailment, and there was obviously some negligence on the part of the railroad, you can't stop that. We're a capitalist society. You can have various competing railroads, and this one made a mistake. Within hours, there were people there from the government, from the department, from environmental people. One of the odd things is the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, believe it or not, is not under the Department of Transportation. And Buttigieg got out there as quick as he could. But they say, the National Transportation Safety Board itself got out there. They're a separate agency. And then he did. And they're just using it to attack Joe Biden. Well, let me tell you something. There are derailments. There have been in the past. they'll continue. The panacea here is better safety regulations. We're going to a break. I'm going to respond to this briefly after the break, Andy. It was a good question. Thanks for calling. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. And as we do, I will give this final rejoinder to Andy of Beaver Dam. Many people don't remember from an environmental point of view. Guess who started the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency? Richard Nixon. The Republican Party used to be somewhat environmentally oriented. Now they've done nothing but attack the EPA, attack Superfund sites, attack the Department of Transportation, attack everything environmental. And then there was a derailment, which was the negligence of the railroad involved. And our people were right on it immediately. The clown Trump, the crooked clown Trump, on the take from the Russians, shows up with a bag of McDonald's and waves it around, insults the mayor for being, in Trump's words, fat. I mean, I don't know how he gets off saying this stuff. And, you know, Biden shouldn't have gone to Ukraine, what? So he could be there with Trump? These people are sick. They're very sick. That negligence, however, has to be corrected in the future, and there has to be a cleanup. And the Republicans cannot be permitted to attack the cost of the cleanup. We're going to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're first. There's a whole line of you. Do not hang up. What's in your mind today, Joe?
I just wanted to return to the subject you brought in the first half hour that was about the cuts that were being proposed by the Republicans. And I wouldn't even begin to touch on the cuts to Medicare and Social Security, which would be, you know, disastrous for so many people. I would look at the one cut, and that was the $25 billion, I believe you said, was being they're asking for a cut to the Department of Education. Because what is better as we make our way into the future than cutting education? What better plan could we have than to have workers and people within our country to be less educated? What a dumb idea. I would suggest that some place that they might look for a cut might be to go back to the Trump tax cut, which was, what, $1 trillion plus for the wealthy in this country? The Guardian at the time stated that this was as a result of the Trump tax cut, that it was the first time that billionaires paid less than the working class. For the first time, the richest 400 families in America on their personal income taxes paid an average tax rate of 23%, while the bottom half of our country paid 24%. How about rescinding that and keeping the Department of Education alone to continue to educate us as we make our way into the future? Thanks for the opportunity to talk, Matt. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. You're right on the money. And let me tell you something. I remember when the Department of Education was first created, and the Republicans have advocated ever since in their platforms when they had a platform. But now that they don't have a platform, they all advocate anyway. They want to get rid of the Department of Education. They want to get rid of it. That is so stupid. In the early part of our country, there was not public education. You know, there were a handful of universities, for instance, that are now the Ivy League. In addition to William and Mary in Virginia, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, that kind of thing. If you were the son of a wealthy individual, you could go there. Everybody else is out of luck. And there was no grade school in most of the country in the early 19th. Abraham Lincoln was in a log cabin, born there in Kentucky, moved to Illinois, and he'd work all day in the fields and chopping wood. And then at night, there'd be a fire, and he'd lie by the fire and read. He taught himself to read and read the great works. We have had free public education now for a long time through the 12th grade, and the wealthiest people in the country for free can send their kids to a good public school. And these clowns who want to get rid of the Department of Education, that is their goal, want to chip away at it. That's only $25 billion now. The hell with it. Teachers make too much money anyway. I'm tired of these guys, very tired of these guys. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
this nonsense all the time about Trump, front runner, if he decides to run. Let's review his 4 years. He promised the infrastructure was going to be, oh, we got failing airports, our road system, our bridges is terrible. I'm going to give you Cadillac health care. A litany of things, every single one of them, Matt, he failed to do anything. Oh, immigration. I'll send troops down to the border and make a spectacle out of the thing every other, 2 years during the off-year elections. But when you really look at what he did, the only thing he really did was, 25% of the total deficit? He was able to do that in 4 years' time? I don't understand what people see in this guy. He's a total disaster on every front. Oh, and then one last thing. Internationally, virtually every hotspot in the world we have right now, you can blame on his ineptitude when he was president.
Right. Very good point. And I don't even know where to begin, but I will tell you this. Remember, he's going to take us out of NATO. He's on the take from Putin. Putin has financed him. His son, Eric Trump, told the journalists that they get their money from Russia because they cheated so many banks in their bankruptcies that they can't get money from the big American banks. So they go to Russia. He's beholden to Russia. He's on the take. He is on the take to Russia. If he gets in, he will cut off Ukraine, let the Russians rape and murder anybody they want. He believes in nothing but stealing money and himself. He belongs in prison. He belongs in prison. And let me tell you something else while we're at it. Merrick Garland has enough evidence against Trump to indict him now. But what he did is he dumped it on this Jack Smith. That's a lot to put on one guy's shoulders, who's nothing more than a former assistant U.S. attorney from Tennessee. He's an honest man, But very disturbingly, some of the witnesses that have appeared before Smith in response to subpoenas recently came out and said that they got the impression that what he's doing is putting together information for a report, not an indictment. I think Garland is afraid to indict Trump. I don't think he's going to indict Trump. And if he could indict Trump, he has plenty of evidence to do it. That may be the one and best reason to keep him from running again. Now they're leaving it on Fannie Willis, the DA in Atlanta, who's very brave, very smart, and a very, very good prosecutor. But you're going to dump it on her shoulders, pass the buck to her, let her get the death threats? The prosecutors in the Democratic Party right now are not doing their job. These fake electors have not been prosecuted. They falsely said to the government that they were the electors. One of them in Pennsylvania was smart enough to say, we're not really the electors now, but if the Supreme Court in this case goes the other way, we could be. Fine. Then they do not get prosecuted. But that isn't what they said in Wisconsin or Arizona or these other states. What is going on? I think that Biden, you pick a guy like Merrick Garland and he looks like a Supreme Court justice or a prosecutor at a Central Casting. You can go to Central Casting and you make it a B movie in Hollywood and you go, I want a guy who looks like a senator. I want a guy who looks like a doctor. I want a guy who looks like a tough prosecutor. And they'll trot out guys like Merrick Garland. You put him in. He is not doing the job, period. And right now, there is a fight within the Republican Party. And I'll tell you what's going on. These people all want to be president. They're all worthless. I don't want any of them to be president. I want Biden to be president again. But Pence now is trying to distinguish himself from Trump without overtly doing it. And here's what he said the other day. He went, quote, there can be no room in the leadership of the Republican Party for apologists for Putin. And he impliedly attacked DeSantis and Trump and Crooked Mike Pompeo. Remember that Trump said he respected and liked Putin. Putin liked him. And he thought Putin was a genius for getting, quote, all that land, e.g. Ukraine, for $2 in sanctions. And Crooked Mike Pompeo said he respected Trump, Putin. Now, this is a very weak, shifty way for Putin to try to, or Pence to try to distinguish himself on Putin. Come right out and say it. We want to make sure that Ukraine wins. And he has not done that. The Republicans in the Senate all want to be president. Josh Hawley, Cruz, Cotton, the rest of them, they're all afraid to take on Trump, so they say they're not going to run. And this is coming down to DeSantis. DeSantis and Pence. Very, very weak. And the thing about DeSantis that just kills me is if this guy had anything on the ball, and I think innately he does, theoretically, but he has bad instincts, bad values, and he's a bad guy. But it wouldn't take any genius to be a conservative response to Trump, but stand up for the aid to Ukraine, stand up for meeting our obligations on the debt limit, say, I'm a conservative, whatever that means, but I believe in our democracy, and I believe if somebody wins an election, they should be certified, even if it's not my party. And if he said that, in other words, he combined a little bit of Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and Mitt Romney, and then put his own little twist on it, he'd be a formidable opponent. But he's not. He's not. He's down there in Florida saying he wants the New York Times versus Sullivan, that Supreme Court case that protects the media, overturned so the media can be bankrupted by billionaires with frivolous lawsuits. And we have, frankly, a fascist society. He thinks that he wants a constitutional convention under Article 5 of the Constitution where a bunch of yahoos and misfits sits down in Mar-a-Lago or some hotel in Las Vegas and redrafts the whole Constitution. The hell with what Madison and Hamilton and Jefferson and the rest of them did. He talks this way. He talks this way. He wants to get rid of not only African-American advanced placement exams and studies, but all advanced placement. And Florida is second or third in the country in the number of kids who take advanced placement courses and tests, and they do very well. This is what we got. This is what we got. Trump could blunder in this thing, blunder it, come in the back door just on name recognition. And then in a general election against Biden, Biden will beat him, I think. But once you are in head to head, you can't control the result. And if Kamala Harris were our nominee, I have very, very serious thoughts about that, about whether she would win. So there you have it. That's a maybe a long, but I think an important statement right now on what's going on the Republican side. And by the way, the Republican Republican primaries are starting shortly because the first debate is in August. The primaries will start after that, closer to the end of the year, the beginning of the following year. But the debates are starting, which affect the primaries. And guess where the first debate's going to be for the Republicans in August? In Milwaukee. Why Milwaukee? Because the convention for the Republicans will be in Milwaukee in July of 2024. And by custom, they always have the first debate in 2023 in the city where the convention will be held. So you'll have plenty of time to let them know what you feel about them. And I don't feel very good about these people. The other thing is Ronna McDaniel, who has very bad news. She is the chair of the Republican Party. She has said that everybody who participates in this debate in August in Milwaukee has to sign a pledge that they'll support the ultimate nominee of the party, even if it's not them. And somebody said, well, Trump is not going to support. He's already said he won't support a nominee that isn't him. And then she tap dances because she's afraid of Trump. She goes, oh, well, I'm sure he intends to support. These people, you know, forget standards, forget anything else. They would sink a knife into the United States. They'd sink a knife into the states that they represent just for power. For power to do what? To obey their donors? To obey the clowns on the far right in their party? That's what's going on. That's what is going on. I'll tell you what, too. There is a Supreme Court case right now in North Carolina. We're going to get into this a little bit now before the break. The break's coming up, but this is extremely important. You know that there's a case in the U.S. Supreme Court, Moore v. Harper, that came out of North Carolina, that the Supreme Court may rule in a certain way that would mean that you could no longer have the right to vote for president, that the state legislator would be the electors. And if they're gerrymandered, so much the better from the Supreme Court's point of view. There's something happening in North Carolina now that could make that case go away. I'm going to describe it after the break. but it's not entirely good news. Coming to the break, lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Let me get back to the Moore v. Harper issue and whether you can vote for president after a while. And let me set the table and tell you what's happening in North Carolina. In Moore v. Harper, the litigants appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they accepted the case. And at issue is what's called the independent legislature theory. There's a way to read part of the Constitution that says that the legislatures are the ones that pick the presidential electors. And that worked in 1788 when George Washington was president. There wasn't a presidential election. Some of the people who were behind the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, and were the greatest patriots got together in each state and said, we want George Washington. And that went on for a while until in the beginning of the 19th century, they started to have presidential elections. Now we have had almost a 200-year tradition of presidential elections. And the legislatures don't try to intervene if their preferred candidate didn't win until Trump. Trump this last time floated this independent legislature theory, and that's why that was the basis of the fake electors, and it didn't go anywhere. However, three of the six tarantulas, three of the Supreme Court justices, believe in the independent legislature theory. They believe that people should not vote directly for president. They are Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch, those three. If they can get two others, they can put that into effect. They at least got one other because it takes four justices to agree to hear a case. So the clowns are hearing Moore versus Harper out of North Carolina, which was a case where the legislature had redistricted racially and really screwed the Democrats. And the North Carolina Supreme Court, which was majority Democrat, had reversed and said, no, you can't do that under the North Carolina Constitution. That's the case that the U.S. Supreme Court took, and if they reverse it, they'll reverse it by saying the legislature is king and you can't do anything about it. What happened in the interim, just recently, there were state elections for Supreme Court, and sadly, the Republican Party flipped a couple of seats. So now the North Carolina Supreme Court is 5-2 Republican. And they are rehearing that case. They're rehearing the case that's actually before the U.S. Supreme Court. And I and many people expect what they'll do is say, no, it's fine under the North Carolina Constitution. You can have that racially discriminatory and rigged seats, and everything's cool. If they do that, the beneficial effect could be it's bad for North Carolina, but it could be that the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't really have a case in controversy to decide. It's moot. You know, everything came out of it the way they wanted and all that. I, however, am in a small minority who are suspicious. I think that it is very possible that Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, and Alito will seize on that and say, that's absolutely right. The North Carolina Supreme Court said it's up to the legislature, and we are going to back them up. Then they have to get two votes out of the following three individuals. They have to get votes out of Roberts, Kavanaugh, or Amy Coney Barrett. Now, Roberts, I think, I'm hoping, will will stand tall and not do it. But I don't know about Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. If they rule the way I'd be afraid they'd rule, that means the gerrymandered legislatures can decide who the presidential electors will be cast for, the votes. Wisconsin has 10 votes, 10 presidential electors, because we have two senators and eight congressmen. Your electors are based on everybody has two senators and how many congressmen you have. The problem is that Wisconsin, like many states, has been gerrymandered unfairly now for 20 years. It'll be 20 years by the year 2030. You can have these legislatures then continue to gerrymander themselves. You'll have son of Voss, son of Sam, son of Gableman, and all that in the legislatures for the rest of the century. But more importantly, they will decide who the electors will be. They will no longer be fake electors. They'll be gerrymandered legislature electors if this case turns out the way I'm afraid. Now, with most states, it won't matter. Alabama, the voters will vote the way the legislature would anyway. New York and California, they'll be blue electors because that's how people vote and that's how their legislatures are. But there are gerrymandered legislatures, and we're one of them. Pennsylvania is one of them. Remember, there are six swing states, purple states, supposedly. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And in three or four of those, there are legislatures, gerrymandered, crooked, corrupt legislatures, who don't reflect the will of the people in presidential races. And those are the ones that will tip an election. So, for instance, if Michigan, although Michigan just recently went Democratic in one of their legislative chambers, but certainly Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia, those states could say, under Moore v. Harper, the decision is, I'm afraid it will come down. Well, okay, that's very cute. That's very, very special. That's what you wanted, but we're going Trump. That is all happening under your nose. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. History is made every waking second and sleeping second, every minute of every day. We're going to keep an eye on it on Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to the end of the show, great show as always, great callers as always. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today. People are drinking, thinking that they-